The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Live off the record with Shivaka Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, IRAF Bank and Trust, Ross Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and the Tourism Development Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. You can also text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. A couple of things. We want to express our sincere condolences. We understand on the passing of Rupert Roberts, who is the founder and proprietor of Super Value Chain Stores, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that a little later on. We also note that today is Budget Communication Day, and in fact, the budget is still being communicated today, and we will have to wait until that's all completed to give you a more fulsome commentary on the budget. But in the meantime, we have with us today representatives of Bahamas Power and Light. If I'm not mistaken, we should have the PR officer, Tajaro Hudson, with us. Tajaro?
Yes, sir. I am here. Okay. Excited to be here today.
And I see a name here that I believe I know extremely well, but I don't presumptuous. Christina, that's you? Hello? I don't know if she's speaking, but it seems like we can't hear her. All right.
Yes, sir.
Let us know. Let us know. You've got some stuff going on. You know, BPL has always got some stuff going on. So talk to us today.
Yes. So my chair lady is on as well. Was that her just now that said something?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
I
awesome.
We got her now.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so.
Christine Alston. I'm not sure what's going on, bro. So you go ahead.
Okay, I'll go ahead and if she joins and then we'll let her go from there.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
Look, I'm happy to be on the show. Like I mentioned earlier, like you said, my name is Tajara Hudson, Public Relations Officer at BPL. And right now, the big talk around BPL is the new energy era. We know that the government has put down a mandate for us to get 30% renewable energy by 2030. And so we are well on our way. I believe that if things stay the same, we will have 30% of the energy generated across the Bahamas be renewable energy by 2027. So we will reach that goal a little early. So that's good. So what is the new energy era?
Three years early.
Yeah, 3 years early. If things stay the same, we'll be there 3 years early, yeah.
Okay.
And so the biggest three things I like to share about the new energy era are that our plans are to reduce the cost of electricity bills. We want to provide a more cleaner form of energy. And then, of course, we want to provide a more reliable system, right? So, of course, the first point in regards to lower bills, that's self-explanatory. We want to bring down the cost of electricity. We understand the cost of living.
Now, that cost to you, therefore to the public, meaning a rate reduction. What are you talking about when you say cost reduction?
Yeah, so there are different avenues that we plan on taking in order to reduce costs. One of the main things, though, is to improve the efficiency by which we operate. And so it costs us a certain amount of money to operate, obviously. And so if we could reduce the cost of what we operate on, which I'll talk to about later in regards to using different sources of fuel, making sure that our most efficient engines are online at any given time, those are some of the ways that we're going to bring down the cost of electricity. Using renewable energy would help as well. And so, like I said, there are different ways that we plan on doing it, but the main way is to make sure that we run more efficiently. The more efficient BPL is, the less oil we use, and the lower the cost would be for consumers.
Okay, and so that there's those three methods, those three aims.
Yes,
cost.
Sorry, yes, sir.
Cost to yourself, improving operations and efficiency, etc.
Yes. So then, from there, we go on to creating a more reliable grid. And so, what we want to do is we want to, long story short, reduce the frequency of outages that occur in New Providence and across the Farmy Islands. And I can say, I don't know if the consumers feel it, but we have already seen a big reduction in the amount of outages we see. And then also we've seen faster response times to be able to get our consumers back online when those outages happen. And so there are many ways that we're doing that as well. One of the biggest ways that we're doing that, and I hope Chair Lady gets a chance to get connected so that she can further explain this one, but we are introducing microgrids to our communities. There are going to be some on New Providence, but they're mainly going to impact the Farmy Islands. So what a microgrid is it's imagine a power system or imagine a power plant right in your backyard or right in your community. So how these microgrids work are they're going to be a combination of solar panels, battery energy storage systems, and in some cases, actual engines as well. And they're going to be placed at key points in communities so that what happens if we have an issue, let's say we're in Eleuthera, and we have an issue at the Hatchet Bay Power Station, right? We could have a microgrid in the communities if there's an issue at the power station, that microgrid is going to be able to power that community for X amount of hours while we deal with whatever's happening at the power station. So that will allow those consumers to stay online until we figure out what's happening at the station. And then once we figure out what's happening there, we can microgrid recharge and go from there. So that's one of the things that we're very happy about and looking forward to in this new energy era. And once again, that's to help improve the resilience of our grid.
Okay. Okay. So kind of redundancy in a micro temporary fashion.
There you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Madam Alston, be able now? Okay. We can't hear you then. She was asking if we can hear her, but we can't hear her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cheerleady, is your mic unmuted?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Okay,
awesome.
We got it. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Hey, Shivago, how you doing?
I you know, I had to make
Shivago.
Sure. I had to make sure. See, we went to school.
I was just going to ask you, you need to dispel this myth for me that for some reason people keep saying I'm not a Bahamian and I don't know anything.
Man, please. Man, me and you used to walk Caravel Beach together after school, hanging out. You and I were the first people to contest for representation of the Bahamas to the Hugh O'Brien Youth Foundation when we were in Hawksville High School together.
Absolutely, and listen, long time ago.
I knew most of my young life.
And then I tell them all the time. I said
they just don't know. They just didn't know.
I tell them all the time about the Mighty Hawks.
Yeah. They just didn't know. They should have asked me, though.
Exactly. Yeah. They should ask you. So, yes, I have a new computer, so I'm trying to get everything set up. This concept of microgrids is a compelling one. And to be quite honest, how we got on this journey was to really try and figure out how to improve the resiliency of the systems that we have. And, one of the things we always, sometimes we talk about reliability and resiliency as though they're interchangeable. You always hear people say, oh, what's the reliability or resiliency? And really, to me, they're distinctly different. When we talk about reliability, that's the goal. The goal is reliability. How many minutes of an hour is BPL actually on? And that's the goal. The resiliency, though, that's a methodology by which we achieve the goal. So how stiff is that resilience? And I usually compare it to weight loss, and because that's something everybody talks about, right? So if I want to lose 30 pounds, that's the reliability. That's the goal. The method that I choose to lose the 30 pounds, that's the resiliency solution. So like I could join Weight Watchers. I could go walking. I could take one of these GPL-1s. But which one of these is going to have the most sticking power to keeping that 30 pounds off when I lose it? And so when I talk about resiliency and reliability, those are the terms that people seem to kind of understand really well. They're like, oh, I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying now. And so for us, the microgrids really represent the most robust of all of the resiliency solutions that we could have come up with. And the goal is to put the generation where people are living. It's to cut down some of the lines that serve between communities so that we can get the most people on as quickly as possible. And that's what the microgrids are doing for us.
Okay. But people speak in like really common language.
Right.
When they talk about energy reform, they go to their bills, they go to their experience, and then they go to, what the future holds in terms of the things you're talking about, like reliability and resiliency, et cetera. And so I think when it comes to the reform that is taking place, like what should people expect over time that they will be able to experience? And a lot of times we hear about these things from political directorates who necessarily want to talk about it, but you all are technicians and you are technical experts. What should people expect as the reform process continues going forward?
So one of the things that we're sitting in is really fortunate for us. We're in one of those rare situations where policy has not gotten ahead of the technology, where the technology and the policy kind of worked hand in hand as we were doing the energy reform, right? And so sitting in this space as an engineer, I'm being able to have policymakers listen to what you say in terms of what technology is available has really been invaluable. From a consumer expectation, the things that I think consumers are looking at, they want the power to be on, they want to know if the bill is going down. I mean, those are the things, right? And then they want to make sure that BPL is in a position to serve future loads. And so when you look at the three things, you know, they have that triangle, you want it fast, you want it good, you know, you want it cheap. It's like pick two. But for us, we realize that electricity is essential to the economic development of the country. And so for us, it's not really a pick two. It's really how do we thread the needle in such a way that we can deliver? And that was one of the reasons why we chose to go the route of independent power producers. So when we first started, we recognized that BPL, you know, BPL owes the government quite a bit of money. So when you start at that, you say, okay, first things first, BPL owes the government about $470 million. So that's the first thing we were dealing with. The second thing we were dealing with was that we had about 100 megawatts, which is about the equivalent of $100 million worth of infrastructure in the Family Islands that was going into its end of life. And then the third thing that we are dealing with is the subsidization of the Family Islands. So BPL, the way the cross subsidization works is that we in New Providence subsidize the Family Islands to the tune of about $52 million a year. And through this cross subsidization, we actually ensure that no matter where you live inside the Bahamas, with the exception, of course, of GB Power, that you pay the same rate. So whether you live in Bimini, or whether you live in Acklands, or whether you live in Cat Island, it really doesn't matter. Everybody in the Bahamas pays the same rate. So when you sit on that foundation, then the question is, how do you move forward in this space to achieve these goals, which is one, paying off the government, reducing the cost of energy, and then increasing the reliability. And so really trying to thread that needle has taken us about 2.5, almost 3 years to get to this point, to figure that out. And a part of it was introducing the microgrids. So when we actually wrote the RFP to go out to bid for the microgrids, we had about 965 various companies get on a call with us. We had a big WebEx, and we ended up with about, I want to say, close to 29 or 30 proposals. And it was everything from every technology you could imagine. And so we had to sit down and really understand, is the technology applicable? What is the cost to bring that technology to this space? What is the timing? Making sure that we weren't sitting in a research and development space, but actually something that we could buy and that could be supported under a warranty situation. So there was a lot of work that went into this new energy era in terms of getting the right technology for the right geographic space. And that's where we ended up. So for like New Providence, we have three solar facilities coming online for a total of 60 megawatts of utility scale solar. And then each of the Family Islands has a different type of layout depending on their demand. So some have solar and batteries and natural gas engines. Some have just these new type of engine that is actually a different, it's called a linear generator. So we really tried to make sure we picked the right technology based on the space requirements, based on the geography and the needs of the community.
So these are not, so the main supplier of electricity, that infrastructure continues. These are the backup plan when something goes down.
So no, it's actually a combination of both. So right now, BPL, when we first started, BPL was renting about $42 million in generation. And so part of our goal is to eliminate that rental fleet. And so much of this actually sits in that rental space. So some of them, So right now we're still renting generators across most of the archipelago. We're renting generation in Abaco. We're renting generation in Exuma. And so these now will sit in that space. So instead of us renting, now these are the independent power producers.
Okay. And independent power producers, as in operated by concerns other than BPL.
That's exactly right. Okay. So the same way, like, you know, same way we have our rental companies, we have a variety of rental companies. Now we have a variety of independent power producers.
Okay. Anything else we need to know to the reform efforts? If you don't mind me asking, how does Island Grid and the work and pipe we're doing, which I think has come to an end now, or is coming to an end, fit into the progress that you are seeking to make and making in relation to reliability and resiliency and so forth, and cost?
Right. So Pike took on as a contractor to do what we call the foundational works. So there were about five, maybe six projects that we had identified that needed as foundational works. And these were projects that were needed to loop, basically loop a substation, meaning that the substation now has two sources instead of one source. It was a variety of inputting in some of the grid modernization that we're seeing across different areas to actually improve how quickly we can restore a particular area, and also changing out several of the older, there was quite a few older poles on the system that needed to be replaced and put in with steel poles. In addition, we had to build a large substation. If anybody's over by Blue Hill, over by where the clinic is, you can actually see in the distance to the left, you'll see a very, very large substation being built there. So it was a variety of projects that we wanted to get done. Their goal is to be finished, I want to say, within the next 2 weeks, these foundational works. And part of it also was to make the system more robust so it could bring on the 60 megawatts of utility-scale solar. So you always, whenever you bring on solar at grids, what we call grid scale, there are system improvements that have to be done in order to bring that solar onto the grid. It reacts very differently from the solar that sits behind your meter if you put solar at your house. Grid scale solar is much, much different from solar that sits behind the meter or it sits behind your house meter.
You mentioned these several projects that have been identified. What was the planning timeline for all of this? Like when was this initiated?
So the initiation, I was not a part of the initiation of the projects. So I can't necessarily speak to that. When I came on board was mainly as a part of the microgrid efforts. But one thing that we have been following is we have an owner's engineer that we actually went out to get, because there are so many projects, it's totally like 29 projects, right? And that includes, when I say it's 29 projects, that actually includes the projects that BGC has undertaken as a part of their work in New Providence. But we monitor all of the projects. The initial work with BGC was kind of underway when I started here, started working on these projects. But for those projects that were identified through the NASA network, my involvement specifically is, making sure that we can get the utility scale solar on board. I'm not sure if that answers specifically your totality of your question, but you, as you know, BGC is a special purpose vehicle that was set up by the government and that was closed on last year in an effort to be able to raise the monies needed to do these foundational projects.
Okay. You've had a couple of iterations at BPL, right? Last iteration, you started or when?
So I came onto the BPL board of directors January of 2024, I think it is. I'll have to go back in time and look. I mean, one of the things that we've been doing is I feel sometimes that we've been working so fast and so furious, we really essentially lose track of time. But I became executive chairman August 1st of last year.
Okay. Is there a end target date for the project period when Bahamians will say, okay, well, all of that effort, there's always continuing work, but...
Oh, yeah.
When is that date, the vast majority of this will be done and we should be seeing the fulsome benefit of it all?
So, we're actually starting to see benefits already, right? I mean, if you look at just in New Providence, the reliability in New Providence has really increased. We've had sets of issues that we've had to deal with. I don't think that we as Bahamians have... I don't think that we have a great opinion for how difficult and how sophisticated the system is. And we're in the middle of a tariff study, and it's interesting because the people who are doing the tariff review, they've gone on record stating that, you know, in the Bahamas, we are the most energy-intensive country in the Caribbean. We use energy the way people in North America do. This is a very sophisticated system here in New Providence, and so we've had a lot of challenges. But we've really done a great job in terms of improving the efficiency of the system, making sure that consumers are up, they're running. We've had challenges. We've had some isolated instances. But we've improved the amount. We have two measures, which is SAIDI, which is the duration of outages, and SAIFI, which is the frequency of outages. And so we've had a 45% increase in improvement in terms of our SAIDI, which is the duration, and a 35% increase in terms of our frequency. So we've been able to reduce the frequency amount by 35% and the duration by 35%. So we're seeing those in real time. So if one of your metrics is, you know, making sure that the power is on, then you can clearly see those metrics coming to fruition. Now, in terms of the cost and in terms of the projects, so our last power purchase agreement, the independent power producer by the schedule should be completed in January of 2028. Now, that's the last of the projects, but some of the projects are already completely underway. If you look at Abaco and Eleuthera, both of those, the containers with the solar panels have already arrived. And so they have already started clearing the land to install the solar panels. The projects for Eleuthera are actually March of 2027 is when we have, right, what we call the COD, which is the construction date. That's the end of construction and when those will be up and running. So each island has a different date in terms of where they are in the schedule, and we have the owner's engineer keeps the master schedule to let us know exactly when everything should be finished. But we are already starting to see those improvements. And in some areas, they have challenges still. Eleuthera is our most difficult island to serve and continues to challenge us in ways that even for myself, with my 35 years of experience as an engineer, you know, it's our fastest growing island. It has several challenges with a lot of large loads in isolated areas, which makes it also challenging. But we have a plan now and we're moving forward with the plan. In addition to that, over the next 3 years, what consumers will actually see is, I'm not sure if you remember, but back in December, we would have signed a loan with the IDB for $90 million to do a grid modernization throughout the Family Islands, and that included advanced metering infrastructure. And that advanced metering infrastructure will actually allow us to do two-way communication with consumers. So if a meter goes out, we will know that that meter is out. And more importantly, we will be able to test and start pinging meters on either side of that meter to actually narrow down where the outage is. So imagine if you're in Eleuthera and there's an outage and your house, Trivago's house, is, then they'll ping me and my house is on, but then they'll ping you and then they'll ping the house next to you and they'll keep pinging those meters until they find the outage. That way, before the serviceman even gets into the truck, the serviceman will know that it's between Trivago and Miss Jessie's house. And so they're not riding up and down in a space trying to figure out what piece of equipment has failed.
Okay. Well, we have to take a break, but two things quickly. People can only, the system is sophisticated. They can't know that unless they're told. VPL has the information. So maybe Tajaro, you need to be coming on with some regularity so you can let people know what's going on and then they get more educated. And then secondly, when we come back from the break, I have just one additional question I would like to ask, okay? We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Collect all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BEMC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clarks and Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Golang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I know you all know the budget is, communication was made, etc., but we've got Bahamas Power and Lights, Tajaro Hudson with us, and the chair lady of the board, Christina Alston, is also with us talking about the reform efforts being made. The question I had was, you had mentioned that the lease of generating power you were doing was annual, I think, $42 million a year. When you're done with the projects that you have where you have these independent power producers, say, is there a sense of what the cost savings is going to be? You're muted.
Apologies. We've already retired about $10 million, so we're down to, right now we're down to about $32 million. By the end of this year, going into the spring of next year, we hope to be down to about $22 million. So we're actually matching the rentals against when the independent power producers are coming online. So we have a schedule, so it's, it moves. So as the independent power producers update their construction schedules, we update the schedule for when we would actually go ahead and give notification to our rentals that we will no longer be using them. So the goal is not to really be in the rental business anymore, only if there was an emergency and we couldn't move one of our own emergency spares. And that's a big deal for us because we want to be able to have emergency spares of our own. So instead of having to call someone and move or enter into an agreement for an emergency spare, our goal is really to have our own emergency spares that if we have a situation, we can go and move our own equipment.
But you are going to be making payments to these independent power producers, though, because that's part of the power agreement.
Yes.
So the net savings can't be all of $42 million.
Well, now the $42 million is a net savings to BPL, right? Because that the rentals actually sit in the BPL O&M budget and will go towards the monies, part of the monies that we will be repaying to the consumer, to the government. The power purchase agreements were actually chosen and set against the current cost to serve a particular island. So, for instance, I have an island that costs me, or a power station, I should say, that's on an island that costs me 76 cents a kilowatt hour. But the actual cost of the power purchase agreement is down around 30 cents a kilowatt hour, 32 cents a kilowatt hour. So that was a strike price. One of the things we were very sensitive to was, how much does it cost me to serve a particular area now versus what the power purchase agreement would be?
Okay. And so when these power purchase agreements kick in terms of full operation, so those people in New Providence who will be subsidizing all these family island places should see some savings in their subsidy, and that might be reflected in their bills, no?
Well, right. So what we'll see is basically the levelized cost of energy, meaning that the cost of energy for everyone will go down because it won't cost us as much for the subsidizations. But I have to preface this and remember that 83% of the energy in the Bahamas is consumed right. So even though we talk about this $50 million subsidy, it's very small when you look at how much we're paying across the the archipelago. So 83% of the energy in the Bahamas is consumed right here in New Providence. They're fighting for number one. I think at some point in time, Eleuthera might take over. But right now, it's Abaco, then it's Eleuthera, then Exuma, then Bimini.
Okay. Well, bottom line, by the end of 2028, maybe the benefits, the gains that people are now seeing should be more fully experienced and going forward, right? Is that correct?
Yes. So we've already seen some real gains already. We would have introduced the equitable rate adjustment. So persons who in the 0 to 200, they don't pay the base rate now. We're really managing through what we kind of talked about earlier, which is economic dispatch, which is really understanding which units in the fleet cost us the least amount to run. So under that economic dispatch model, we're always trying to make sure that we have the most efficient engines on, and that's an operational tactic that we can use to make sure that that levelized cost of energy comes down. So our goal for the future is not only to keep the lights on longer, make sure that the frequency of outages is reduced, but to reduce the cost of energy as well. And that's where the independent power producers really play a role.
Given what is happening now, what is the likelihood that we will keep a pace of growth in our power demands over the next 5 to 10 years?
So I think we're in a really, really good position. I think one of the smartest things we did was go ahead and embrace moving to the natural gas and the natural gas engines, but also giving us some breathing rooms for our diesel and HFO fleet as well. So we have, I think, we have a position right now where we can prepare for growth. And growth is something that maybe we hadn't looked at before, because especially in the Family Islands, we didn't do as good a job as we could have done in terms of monitoring and developing those islands with respect to the growth rate. But now we're very much on top of growth rates. One of the things we have to do is, because we have independent power producers, we actually have to do a model around the growth rate every year. And so we're putting BPL in a position where they can do 5 and 10 year cycles, where they have all of their projects identified. That's really, that falls right in line with utility planning. Every utility across the planet, usually they plan in 5 and 10 year increments. You do basically a load forecast. That load forecast tells you what is going to be at end of life next or what breaks next. You go ahead and plan for it. You start the planning process. That initiates the projects. The projects then initiate into things that now have come on the ground in a timely manner. So whenever you do project planning like that, it really sets you up to make sure that you're future-proofing the system for whatever might happen. But we also make sure that we have enough generation on the ground at all times for what is called our N-2 contingency, meaning that if we ever lose our two largest units, we still have sufficient generation on the ground.
Now, Pike's foundational work is supposed to be finished in about 2 weeks, I believe I heard you say, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the last report I got, was they should be done in about 2 weeks.
Okay. Is there a continuing presence for Pike beyond that?
I believe so. That's really a BGC question, and we'll have to get the new CEO, Mr. McKenzie, to answer that. Because remember, Pike was a subcontractor to BGC,
right,
to do the work like any other subcontractor. I'm sure if there's additional projects in the work, they would be able to bid on it. But the large projects themselves, once they're completed, then their Pike's work here will be done.
Okay.
Because that's it's like any other project, once the contractor is finished at your house, they pack up their tools and they go home. Mm-hmm. And then you wait for whatever you want to do next.
And all the continuing efforts at progress, modernization, reform, lands to BPL at its core and so forth. That's what we're seeing.
Well, so works in New Providence, if there's other works in New Providence, Mission and Distribution System would fall under BGC. So BGC owns the T&D in New Providence, and BPL is still responsible for all of the grid modernization in the Family Islands. And so that those are separate projects that are being run through the Family Islands under our...
I think that's important for people to note is that in New Providence, that T and D...
Yes, transmission
is,
and distribution.
Is Bahamas Grid.
Right.
But in the Family Islands, the work is being directly overseen by BPL insofar as those independent power producers are concerned. That's right?
That's correct. So all of the work needed to actually interconnect those independent power producers, we have a microgrid team internal to BPL. We have a project manager. And so he is managing all of those projects and interconnections. Luckily, they're not all happening at the same time, which is a good thing. But yes, so those are being managed all by BPL and BPL staff. Now, of course, some of that may have to be contracted out because of timing and resources. We can't be everywhere at the same time. But those projects are varied. So as I would have said, the projects for Eleuthera and Abaco are the first ones up out of the gate. And they're the actual installation of the, solar panels is going to be happening here pretty soon. But what we're talking about is the interconnection point, meaning the way BPL and the way the independent power producer handshake, so to speak, the work associated with that, that'll be taken on by BPL.
All right. Well, Madam Chair, one last question. So you expect the BPL financials to be meaningfully improved by all of these things that are happening so that it is a more sustainable going concern?
Oh, absolutely. So my goal is to have BPL out of debt in about 5 years. The way I've gone about, along with the BPL team and the board of directors, we have a transformation office that we've set up now. And so, you know, it's not... You're not going to find $100,000 in one bucket, right? So it's like $5 million here, $10 million here, $15 million. So, you know, it seems like such a huge number, but when you break it up, it's like anything else. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? So it's all about trying to find those buckets or those levers. We call them internally to BPL, we call them, there's levers that we pull. So, you know, when you pull a lever, you're saying we are committed to doing X, Y, and Z, and the output of that lever is going to be $5 million. So one of the things that we estimate is just our improvement in efficiency around the duration of reducing the duration of audit of outages. That's $3.5 million in revenue that we leave on the table because people are out of power. So we look at that. So there's $3.5 million here, and then there's $4 million here, and there's $2 million here. And when you add it all up, or what we call stacking, when you stack all of these occurrences, then that's how you figure out where the money is in order to pay off our debt to the government.
Does Grand Bahama Power Company fall to the operation of BPL entirely now?
No. So Grand Bahama Power is still its own entity. But one of the edicts is that we will incorporate their levelized cost of energy and our levelized cost of energy. So what does that mean for the people of Grand Bahama Power? So what that means is instead of them taking what their unit cost is and just taking it over their 20,000 meters, now it will be their unit cost plus our unit cost spread out over 140,000 meters.
I see.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm not running you guys. If you want to stay for a few more minutes, we can do that after the break, but we got to go to the news break.
No problem. That's how you do that. That's how you reduce the cost. You spread it out.
Okay, super. So you'll stay, right? So I'll see you on the other side or no?
What time is that, Till? Go ahead.
The break is about 3 minutes, and then we have about 5 minutes after. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our break for news, and when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with BPL. We'll be back after this break. Let me know if you're not alone. I just can't keep living this way. So starting today, I'm breaking this cage.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Turn a trip to Burger King Nassau into a galactic adventure with the Mondo and Grogu Whopper Combo, featuring special shake fries. Whether you're a bounty hunter in training or just here for your way, Burger King Nassau has everything Mandalorian Grogu related. You can walk, grab the toys, the mugs, the crown, and your crew, and head on down to BK and celebrate the Mandalorian and Grogu adventure with Burger King Nassau. This is the way.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that are second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. It's always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
From the pine barrens to the ocean, in the sun and in the dust, we are building for tomorrow, and the future flows through us. Yeah, yeah. Yes, the future flows through us.
The Water and Sewage Corporation, celebrating 50 years of nation building.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. What up if you feel like you've been down and say no?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we've been speaking with Chairperson of the Board at DPL, Christina, also Mr. Tajaro. Johnson, is it Tajaro? Let me get your...
Hudson, Tajaro Hudson.
Hudson, sorry. Right? I was waiting for my document. That's the problem, right?
Yeah,
but,
gotcha.
And we've been getting an update on the reforms. And I actually have to tell you, this has really been helpful to me in understanding some things about what was going on, because even though I tried to wade through all the inner documents, that was rough. I do though, Christina, have a question related to what you said about Grandmama Power Company and levelizing, or I think it's the term you use.
Levelized cost of energy.
Right, which puts it's kind of like scaling up Grandmama Power Company, right? So that you spread its cost across a bigger base.
Yeah, right? I mean that's what. It's called economies of scale. I mean, this is what we learn all the time. It's
exactly,
you know, many hands make light work. I mean, no matter how you look at it, it's the same thing, right?
So yeah.
How can we, you know, it's you know, one of the things, Shivago, and you've known me, as you've said, she's probably longer than almost anybody else in my
life, so to speak.
Yes. You know, I've always been a futurist by nature, right? And it's always been like, how might we make life better for Bahamian people? And you know, I've always been passionate about energy. I mean, you know, it's something that I've always been wanting to do, and it was in my life, right? And the thing about it is, you know, you and I grew up in Freeport, and we want to see Freeport to have the same kind of advantages when it comes across speaking about the cost of energy. We want them to have the same things that, you know, they want. We want them to pay what we pay, right? I mean, but it's not just Grand Bahama, right? It's Grand Key. You know, we want the people in Grand Key to pay the same amount as everyone else. We don't want anyone in this, you know, electricity is essential now. You know, there was a time, you know, when I was growing up where my grandmother didn't have electricity. And we had a kerosene lamp. And we also had a pump in the house. And we had an outhouse, right? But we don't live like that anymore. We expect that when we get home, we turn on the energy. We flip the switch. And magically, electricity flows. We don't understand it. But we know that we have people who do understand it. And we're grateful to those people, right? And so for us, we want to make sure that energy does not become an issue where persons are like, well, I don't want to turn on my lights because the cost of energy is going up, or it's not there when I need it. It's those kinds of real social questions that we have to be a part of. And so spreading their costs across all the meters.
100% with you. I'm 100% with you now. Which is why some years ago, I used to say, why? We are like 50 miles off of Florida. Mm-hmm. Why don't strike that deal to scale us up with them?
So, you know, the call, you know, one of my jobs is to watch the cost of energy across everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And energy is skyrocketing across the planet. The cost of energy, the cost of producing energy is skyrocketing. You and I are old enough to remember the whole Three Mile Island situation that happened with the nuclear power plant. The fact that Microsoft has gotten into a joint venture to bring Three Mile Island back online speaks to the demands on energy. You know, for us to import energy from Florida, that means somebody in Florida has to create energy. And what is the cost of that, right? And it's no longer a question of, you know.
In terms of be a whole lot cheaper than what we pay.
That's not exactly right, because if you
really,
but
we could scale up for Grand Bahama Power Company, vis-a-vis Nassau, without a direct connection in terms of power connection.
But that's because we're doing it
in Florida.
But listen now, you're taking a commercial issue and a technical issue and making them into one issue. So technically, what you're saying is talk about, you know, servicing out of Florida, right? Whereas what we're
I'm technically saying, suppose a Florida company came and bought BPL in Nassau and it's cost that way. Why wouldn't that work the same way we're working it?
Remember, we're a sovereign country, right? I mean,
that means we could do it if we wanted, because we're sovereign. We could agree to do it, just like the government agreed to do this.
Well, let's talk about it for a minute. What do you think the cost of energy is in Florida right now?
I can tell you one thing. I know Billings there, and mm-hmm. it ain't close to what we pay in here.
So
I know that for a fact.
But the thing is, remember, what we're paying here is across the entire archipelago. Right? No one is really thinking about it from the way I guess maybe we think about it. We support an archipelago that is not connected, right? When you look at the cost of energy for let's talk about our nearest neighbor, which would be the Florida Keys, right? The Florida Keys is quite expensive in terms of mainland Florida.
But I'm not talking about Florida.
Yes, but that's the same. That would be our nearest comparison, would be the Florida Keys. I mean, that's the same situation that we're in. They've got 27 miles of Keys to serve, and it's not what they pay in baseline Florida.
Yeah, because they allow the power in the Keys, the cost to be their scale, unlike what we are suggesting now, which is that, no, the family islands don't get to pay their cost, their price in terms of cost, they get subsidized by New Providence.
Right, but you notice
and now New Providence to go ahead and subsidize Grand Bahama.
So it's not a subsidization with them because they actually make their own profit margin. What we're doing is we're looking at their energy costs and adding it against our energy costs and then spreading it. So they're already standing on their own 2 feet, which is exactly where we are looking to put some of our family islands as well. So from a board perspective, we're looking at Abaco, Bimini, Eleuthera and Exuma to actually hit their levelized cost of energy where they're standing on their own 2 feet, and they'll be a part of this levelized cost. But it's the same thing that, you know, Florida Power and Light, or, you know, they're not going to come in and say, okay, we're just going to absorb you as a loss leader into this. That's not their, that's not the way they are, because remember, Florida Power and Light is an IOU. It's an independent. They are an investor-owned utility, meaning that that's their strike price actually has.
Exactly. They are not
it's
a
very double. Different. That's very different. That's
I agree
very
with you 100%. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
And so as an investor-owned utility, they have sitting here as a quasi-government. We're not here to make a profit. What we're here to do is provide a product and a service that is necessary, but we don't need to be a burden on the government. It's a very different business model. That's why the Florida Keys are more expensive, because that is actually a different model than it is for mainland Florida. This utility thing is very, very complex, and it's getting more complicated.
Well, utilities as a technical form might be complicated. Actually, to me, the commercial realities of it speak to the fundamental thing about governments. We decide to do what the heck we want to do, and we decide not to do what the heck we don't want to do. That is true. But from a commercial point of view, then, you know, sometimes the decision's a little different. So I understand that.
That's where we talk about policy,
yes,
and
exactly.
Technology, right? So exactly. I'm over... So, you know, from a technical standpoint, you know, my goal is to provide energy that is sustainable, that meets the needs of the people. But I cannot do 100% electricity 100% of the time, perfect power, and we don't care what it costs. Yeah. That's not the reality for any of us in this space.
Understood. Well, listen, I really appreciate your being here, because as I said, I have found some very helpful, useful information. We do have just one or two people who had some questions for you. Do you mind taking them?
Sure.
Okay. It says, why were we having such frequent ASSA over the past month?
I don't know, but frequent.
I know on the election day and a couple other days, I heard of people having some outages in isolated areas.
Yes. So we've been working on, BGC has been working on the underground cabling system. So, you know, we have a lot of underground cable that, you know, earlier about how sophisticated the system is in New Providence.
Right.
So we're one of the only countries in the Caribbean that has, like, underground transmission. And not a lot of places actually have underground transmission, and we're fortunate to have it. But unfortunately, a lot of it is reaching end of life. And as we've been doing these reconfiguring in order to release some of the lines for construction, we've put some stress on some of our underground cables, and that has just revealed some issues that we were not aware of.
Okay. This text says, sir, please ask your guests if they know of any existing or plans to have any data centers here. I heard they demand a lot of power.
So, not to my knowledge, but the answer is yes. Data centers are the most energy dense customers that you can have on the system. It's interesting that so many places are trying to get data centers, but they are very, very, very energy. The consumption is quite large. You know, I just mentioned to you about Three Mile Island and Microsoft. The reason they're bringing it back online is to serve data centers.
Okay.
It's the same reason that you've heard the U.S. administration is bringing some of their coal plants back online is to serve data centers. From an engineering standpoint and not a BPL standpoint, let's put BPL to the side. As an energy engineer, personally, I feel data centers should bring their own energy with them. I don't think that should be the burden of the, you know, residential consumer to support data centers. I feel that they should be required to bring their own energy with them if they have those types of requirements. Because I don't know if you've been following, but there's a lot of lawsuits coming up now, because not only do they use a lot of energy, but they lose a lot of water. And what we're talking about now is, let's make sure we're talking about, we're not talking about your little local data center that houses some information.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, big, huge. Right. We're talking about the Microsofts and the AWS and the hyperscalers.
Mm-hmm. This Texas, are you, I mean, BPL, guessing the usage amount? Because I run AC all year round, but miraculously my kilowatt hour usage has increased by 50% this month. It's mind-boggling, says this text.
So your usage is directly concerned or outside air temperature. I mean, there's no way around that. If you run your AC all year long, then in the cooler months, your AC, your air conditioning, your deep freezer, and your refrigerator is not going to pull as much energy. It goes along with what we call the laws of thermodynamics and outside temperature and inside temperature. The hotter it gets outside, the more your air compressors are going to work, and the more work is a direct function of energy. So the harder something works, the more energy it consumes. And that's why your light bill tends to go up in the summer as well, because the outdoor air temperature, if the outdoor air temperature is 89 degrees and you like it a nice 72 degrees, that 15 degree differential, that bandwidth costs you energy, which costs you work. So, but if it's only 72 degrees outside and you like it 72 degrees in the house, then there's no differential there.
And that's one of the reasons why I say it's really a kind of tricky business when we say that people's bills are going to go down versus I'm going to reduce your rate as well. The surcharge rate has gone down, because even if I reduce your rate and the fuel surcharge goes down, there could be environmental and other reasons that drive your usage and cost that then means that your bill doesn't reflect what I thought might be result of lowering the rate either way, right?
Right, because and you make up an excellent point, and I want to make this point because I think you framed it in such a way that one of the things, the BPL system is growing at 1.9%, meaning like the meters that we're attaching is 1.9%, but our actual consumption is growing at 2.9%. So what does that mean? That means that persons are actually using more energy at their home. And there's lots of factors to that. One of the things is we have an aging population. And I don't know about your family, but in my family, you know, one of the things that I noted that when my uncle got sick, you know, my aunt installed an air conditioning unit in the room.
24/7.
Right. And as people age, you know, the older you get, the more difficult it is to regulate body temperature. I mean, that's we have an aging population. Thank God for that, right? People are living longer, but we also want them to be more comfortable. And because of like last year, July was a perfect example. So we got a lot of high bill complaints, and we did some research. And what we found was we had 5 extra days over 90 degrees in July than we had the year before. Well, if you're looking at a 30-month cycle, then you know that is significant. That we had these 5 extra days of over 90 degree days. And what we're not seeing and what we used to see is there used to be a cooling effect. So if you went to bed at night and it was 89 degrees, when you woke up in the morning, it may have been down to about 80 degrees. We're not seeing that anymore. If you go to bed and it's 89 degrees, you wake up in the morning, it's 87 degrees. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing those cooling effects that we used to have before. But how we got here was the person said, well, do you all read the bills? Yes, the bills are not manually read. We have an automatic meter reading system now where, you know, we go through, and this was done many, many, many years ago, where you drive through an area, you ping the meters, and the meters come back and they tell you what the readings are. And then if you have a high, then we come out and we do a manual reading. And we also test service. When a meter comes out of service, we test it and make sure that it's still within the bandwidth, and we have to keep that according to the regulator's policies. The new systems will be completely different because those will actually be, there'll be a two-way communication system, so we'll be able to see your meter in real time, so you'll be able to actually budget and say, you know, this is my budget for energy this month. And that's where the industry is going. Consumers want to know, how much is my energy costing me? They don't want to wait for their BPL bill. They want to know in real time, you know, am I on track with my budget, much energy this month? And we're launching a new unit within BPL. It's our energy conservation unit. They actually start I'm excited because they actually go out for training. We have the Association of Energy Engineers is coming out of Atlanta to train that wing. They'll be available to actually come and do energy audits in the home and energy audits for commercial customers, where they can actually come through your home and show you where your energy is being used. I tell people all the time, like, if I come to your house and I can feel the air conditioning on my toes before you open the door, you know, you don't have enough weather stripping around your door because all you're doing is air conditioning the outside. And so it's all of those little things now where we move into energy conservation that will help Bahamians save money on their energy bill.
We want to thank you again so much for sharing with us all this important information. And please feel free to help us better understand what's happening to keep abreast of the progress going on at economic and social life of our country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You still doing STEM work?
I am. I'd like to start doing, now that I'm home full time, I'd like to go ahead and pick up some more STEM projects. For your listeners, they may not know that I was able to establish the first STEM certified middle school in the state of Georgia. And it's really revolutionized how that school moved forward. And what I was so excited was the first STEM class graduated last year. So my first middle school sixth graders graduated from university last year. And we actually had a few that had actually gone out for patents in and they credit the STEM program for really launching their careers. So I really do hope to work more in STEM this coming year.
Good. You should call me. You should call me off air so we can discuss that.
Okay. Will do.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We appreciate both of you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us.
All righty.
Yes, sir.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we will continue the show. We'll be back after this break.
Slices, perfectly baked, foldable. Marcos is bringing New York to your neighborhood for just $19.95. Meet the Marcos New Yorker Pizza. Built with Marcos fresh dough, rich sauce, and fresh, never frozen three cheese blend. This is pizza the New York way. If you can't fold it, is it really New York style? Go big, fold it, love it. Big slices, big flavor. The New Yorker Pizza. Now at Marcos for $19.95. Order now at Marcos. PizzaBahamas.com.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the gold package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. 302-2300, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you're on Radio. 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you continue to be well. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232, 36232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, or you can text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We have so many things going on in the Bahamas, as per usual. But we did have the reading of the budget communication today. I should not today in any deep way tomorrow. And we've had a better opportunity to look at the communication, but in particular, look at the budget numbers themselves, and we can have a more intelligent discussion about it. I have to say that, the Ministry of Finance follows a particular pattern with budget communication for years and years and years, so nothing I'm going to say will reflect the current Minister of Finance in his delivery of the budget communication. I mean, we really do. Like, seriously, as a document, as a speech, we can make that. First of all, it doesn't have to be as long as it is. Remember, you have a whole budget debate where you can have ministers lay out different details about things that the government is doing and so forth and so forth. But also, what we don't need to do with it is have so many platitudes. I mean, just so many broad, aspirational statements. I think that people want the concrete in the budget communication. What you're doing revenue-wise, man. I mean, literally what you can do. You don't need to take a long time to do that. What you do you have any tax measures? New tax measures? Amended tax measures? Decreasing tax measures? You know what I mean? On the expenditure side, what do you mean expenditure? Is there any changes? Because by and large, the budget of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, by and large, is set from year to year, folks. From year to year, other than new hires, the government of the Bahamas can be paying $600-700 million out to workers of the government of the Bahamas every year. All the leases, all that stuff is going to be paid also. By the time as you get to the only discretion the government really has in the budget is like maybe 15% of the budget. 15% of whatever the money is they're calling is available for discretionary funding. Everything else has been committed a long time ago. You don't need every year to spend 1 hour, 2 hours saying the same thing over and over and over again about, what's happening in the international community, the economy of the U.S., et cetera, and so forth. I mean, there is economic performance, right? But trust me, we could be more efficient in providing the substance, I think, of the country's fiscal affairs, not just in the communication itself, which should be a summary of the overall expenditure, revenue. That's what the Constitution requires, you know. The Constitution asks the Minister of Finance every year to present to Parliament his estimates of revenue and expenditure. All this other stuff, that wasn't asked for. How much revenue do you expect to get in the upcoming 12 months? $4.4 billion. How much money do you expect to spend in the upcoming 12 months? $4.2 billion. Net, surplus, deficit, whatever it is, it's going to be, right? Okay, in terms of expenditure, where are you going to spend the money? Well, that's what them people during the time in committee is going to be going over line by line. Every head, every item in every head, and they're going to be able to talk about it in that, in there. We get the, and you know what I find, I really find challenging about budget communications, and you notice what I said, communications, is we speak about circumstances in the country in ways that just seem so far removed from the realities that people are living. Because in truth, right? Like I sometimes wonder, you know, if we're really getting it, right? Because we speak about our growth numbers, which, as an example, today, they're unprecedented. Frankly, they're not even adequate to the needs of the Bahamian people. Because if you listen to the budget communication, the Minister of Economic, the Minister of Finance says that he's got this nice, robust growth, and he talked about what Fitch said, and he talked about what Standard & Poor's said, and what the IMF said, and all these people said. And then he says, but unemployment went from 10% to 9%, and it's going to be hovering around 9% and 10% for the next 2 years? Hovering around 9% for the next 2 years? That does not reflect any meaningful contribution to the economic life of the unemployed for a historic, unprecedented, robust economic situation. It's ridiculous. We should not be pleased with that. We should be like, no, that's stubborn. Is there some now structural unemployment that is resistant to my policy efforts? But we go ahead and we talk about it, and then people go clap and stomp on these desks. Like, seriously? I'm sorry, right? I mean, I've been there. I know that. I know the applause business and so forth and so forth. I know that business. But we really should be applauding for the things people are applauding for. Otherwise, they can look at us and go, okay. I think that the budget communication could be much more practical, much more impactful, much more identifiable with the Bahamian listening and the international community listening. You know, I don't need to tell the international community that the World Economic Outlook calls for listening to my budget communication. They know that. They could get that themselves. I mean, you could say it, right? But I just think we take so much time. Yeah, we take so much time. It's hard. It was hard reading through it. I ain't gonna lie. You know, sitting through it. So. But this is what we do. This is what we do. And I just think we could do better. There are some stubborn economic realities in the Bahamas that the budget, if it can, really speak to, should be more definitive in speaking to. Right? You can't tell people that unemployment will hover around 9% and don't have some very specific things that you will seek to do to try and do something about that, right? Like, for instance, I minister and mention that there's going to be a relief, stamp tax relief on first-time home construction of duplex, triplex, and fourplex if one of the units is owner-occupied, and provide like a zero rating on VAT exemption for VAT for that. Wonderful. That's specific. That's an attempt to do exactly what he said. Wonderful. I think you need more of that. And if we're going to encourage people to go to the polls and vote, if we're going to encourage Bahamian, young Bahamians to want to come back to this country and work, if we want to encourage young Bahamian people in this country not to want to leave it, we have to do more of that. We have to use more of the government's machinery and speak it and do it in a more specific way. I really do. And spend more time in the budget doing that and less time on all this platitude. That's just my my thought on the matter. I have no criticism for the minister. I know how the budget communications are prepared, and I know that these technicians write them up how the model's been written up forever and forever and forever. But we don't have to keep doing that. We do not. We need to be mindful of our audience and what matters to them. And just try to speak and provide a budget communication that reflects that. Anyway, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Kaupeng Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Kaupeng Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Kaupeng Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Mark your calendars. It's the 5th annual FGIAB Trade Show and Fun Fair happening Saturday, June 28th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Family Guardian Corporate Center, located at the corner of East Bay Street and Village Road. Get expert advice on home, auto, life, and health insurance, plus car loans, mortgages, real estate, home construction and renovation, and more. We've got fun for the whole family with food, music, a kiddies corner, test drives, a blood recruitment. We've also got big discounts from our vendors and exciting prizes. And guess what? Entry is free. Don't miss the fun. See you there.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call in these remaining moments of the show, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3030. You know, yesterday I promised to read some of these texts that I wasn't able to read. And so since we have a few minutes left, I can't get into the budget, won't get into the budget. We can't do that tomorrow. Let me read these texts. This text says, the PLP evokes Candia James's name as a political boogeyman. He conditioned his base supporters to hate. This text says, dog don't bark at parked cars. We were talking about some of the comments that Fred Mitchell was making about Candia James and these related to that. It says, dog don't bark at parked cars. No way. This text says, for some reason, the PM and Mitchell want the Bahamian people to believe this is nothing, meaning the plane crashing, what have you. I noticed that the PM took the same stance in 2024 when the indictment came down. Then in 2025, he started floating nothing burger-like statements such as, looks like entrapment, but the Yemen people need to know who is high-ranking politician 1 through N. It's Texas. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. This is a joke. When Naughty Show comes to on today, boy, they going to do Fred right in. Laugh out loud, says the Tex. It's Texas. Why is the chairman of the PRP so focused on trying to create discourse in the FNM but not focusing on his own job as foreign affairs minister and trying to find out who politician 1 is so that we can root such corruption out of the government? Do you realize the ramifications of cutting drug deals in the House of Assembly or your option of the Bahamas as long as the PRP is the government? It's Texas. Sir, please ask your... Oh, this is... Okay, so now we are today. That's, that was all of the texts from yesterday. It's Texas. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Yes, we are an archipelago, so instead of trying to implement or construct a Grand Bahama or New Providence model, get away from diesel-run engines and use solar power generation or hydro-powered models, especially service for the family islands. Well, she said that they are doing some of these alternative energy, and Mr. DeGiro said that we would be at 30% alternative energy generation by the end of 2027. It's Texas. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. If you are trying to frustrate or irritate the masses, just repeat or state facts or numbers over a lengthy period of time, losing most of the audience to repetitive statements or rehearsed voices to the majority who have lost interest. That is the budget communication. The budget communication definitely does not try to keep the attention of the public. Does not. Definitely does not. It does not. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, yes, hi.
Hey, Brother Lang.
What's going on?
Boy, I don't want to get you and you have that lady from BPL there, boy. But anyhow, I want to ask you this question if they are 24-hour service anymore. Because in the space of less than 2 months, my light went off 3 times. And all 3 times was over 24 hours.
Mm.
Okay?
Your light was off for 24 hours? That's
on
frustrating.
Election day, my light gone off 4 o'clock that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And he ain't come back on until 5 o'clock the next afternoon.
Yeah, I remember several
people. So maybe
yeah,
anything, I had to come in my car. And, you know.
Mm.
But I don't want to ask them that question because it seems to me like they don't take emergency things serious no more. Now, I know back in the days, they used to come and they could do the work if it's going on for a couple hours or, you know. But these 3 times, I don't want to answer that question. 24 hours. Then one time it gone off. I believe the fellas in the damage doing the trenching. And they ain't come and fix it till that day. I thought BC is a 24-hour emergency service, but it ain't look like they like that.
Yeah, they're supposed to have 24-hour service. I mean, they're supposed to. I mean,
right. Have you ever tried calling number or anything else?
I'll call Water Wakes
number and get them. You don't get the easy no more. Service has dropped drastically.
I just pay power and grandma.
I don't want to answer that question. Why the public don't be treated as emergency no more?
Mm. Mm. All right, my friend. Take care. You know, let me take this last couple of minutes to say something. So, I heard Sabas Bastian, the Honorable Minister responsible for AI and National Development, being interviewed the other day. And the interviewer asked him about the fact that people say he is, you know, in public life, but he runs a business which is causing harm to people because of the addictive nature of it and so forth. So this is what people are talking about. And what he went on to respond, how he responded to that was not to speak to that particular point, but to say that, you know, what people didn't know or realize is he had been in business from a very young age. I think he started out as 15 years old. He had his first business.
And then he moved on to other businesses and electrical business. And then he indicated that he was a millionaire by the time he was, I think he said 27 years old or thereabouts. And that was the extent of his explanation. So he didn't answer the question that was put to him as in, okay, do you regard your business as a business that does harm to people? He didn't answer that, and that's fine. But what I observed was, no. The people aren't merely asking about that. They're also saying, well, you know, you run and operated a business which at one point was not legal. But the interviewer, Shanique Miller, never asked that question. She didn't ask him about that question. It was about people say you are in a business that causes harm. Well, there was a time when the Commonwealth of the Bahamas did not allow or permit as a legal operation that business. And even as he gave his answer, he talked about the businesses he had leading up to becoming a millionaire, but he never talked about the business that is the subject of why, for instance, the Christian Council is saying that he and Leslie Bryce ought not to have been appointed. I mean, that's their position, and so forth and so forth. Now we are learning that the regulators, the gaming board that regulates the gaming business, which promised a statement apparently on the Sabas, Razia Bryce issue and the appointment, issue, hasn't made a statement. But let me say this to you guys, right? The gaming board is a non-issue to me. You know why? The gaming board is a part of the government operation of the Bahamas. The head of the government of the Bahamas is Prime Minister Brave Davis. Prime Minister Brave Davis appointed Sabas Bastian, the Honorable, and Leslie Bryce, the Honorable, to the cabinet. He's head of the cabinet. He's head of the executive. He's head of the government of the Bahamas. So what the gaming board has to say about the matter is what? What the gaming board can say? You think the gaming board is going to depart from the government and say, no, you know, they really shouldn't have been appointed? Or might they say, yeah, everything is in order, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? It is the prime minister's responsibility to ensure that anybody who sits in this cabinet can sit in this cabinet because they meet the qualification to do so, because they serve at his pleasure. So I'm sorry, to me, the gaming board saying something or not saying something is no story, right? It's no story, because you can't get more senior in the government than the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, the government. And he made the appointments. Okay? And, you know, sometimes these institutions, are what they are. Just know that. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
My good brother, Shivago, good afternoon to you.
Hey, what's going on, my friend?
Right here, my friend. Listen, I don't think you need to go any further with this conversation, because what you said just now, any intelligent Bahamian who is well-rounded, honest to themselves, can speak truth to power, should see what you have said. You don't need to even go further. First and foremost, we all, you know, besides the Christian Council, I can't speak for them. But as Bahamians, this aspect of gaming in the country was something that was frowned upon. I'm not going to say illegal, frowned upon from way back then. And it is incumbent upon the Prime Minister, who is the leader of not only the leader of the party, but the leader of the government and his cabinet. They can decide which direction this thing is going to go. They don't need the gaming board to change
They can decide. The prime minister has already decided.
Well, that's what I'm... Okay. Well, let me rephrase. They have decided.
the Christian Council can ask him to do something about that.
To have a faith in this because the decision has already been made.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And the Christian Council, hold on just 1 minute. The Christian Council making a comment about it is going to make no difference. Not one lick of difference.
You're absolutely correct. It's not going to make a difference. The Prime Minister then has to accept the responsibility for the decision that has been made. And the Christian Council and the Gaming Board and anybody else that has anything to say about this matter, it becomes null and void. Unless a group of Bahamians really protest loudly
let me just finish,
Chicago, so you can see where I'm going with this. To really protest about the decision that has been made, sometimes with those numbers, you have people who would actually go back and reconsider some things. But the horse is already out of the barn. And it's going to be quite interesting to see where the horses are going from this point go forward.
All righty, my friend. We got to run. Take care. We appreciate you calling. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Survival Lang, your host. Y'all have a super day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. Take care.
Take a stand, everybody. Come take my walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.